I say to husbands, invest in your wife. Take her out for a date. Oh, it costs money. No, no, no. It's a wonderful return. You're going to get the best return on that. And I say, wife, invest in your husband. The wife says, oh, you don't know my husband. Listen, we all know that there are no perfect husbands because my wife Anna married the last one of its kind. There are no more. There are no more. But still try your best.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Today we continue our series on the kingdom of God, and Pastor Wayne will show us the importance of investing in relationships. Did you know the best place you can start is right in your own home? Well, that message will be coming up in just a moment, but first we invite you to join us for a few minutes of worship from New Hope.
Holy Spirit, fall on me. Let it burn like fire from above.
Here now is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Invitation to the Kingdom.
That's the principle I want to talk about. In fact, let's read. It's at the top of your notes, but look at it on the screen here, and let's read it together. Go. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, here it is, will also supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness, and you will be enriched in everything. You see, God says, I'll supply all you need. Oh, if I break out something and give, I won't have it. No, I can give you tons. Because the reason isn't to drain you. The reason to give is so I can refresh you and bring life back to your families, to your life, to your soul. But if you just love what you have and keep everything you get, that will turn into a God. You see, money and God tend to mastery. And whatever you give yourself to will become master. But if you tend to money and love that, then money will become mammon or your master, and you'll start to use God in your life for your desires. But if you let God be your master and love Him with all heart, soul, mind, and strength, you'll be able to utilize money and convert it into that which is eternal, and it'll be 30, 60, 100 times better than you've ever imagined. And that's why he says, let's read this next scripture together. Go. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. So you say, okay, well, I'd like to find investments that bring the greatest return. What would that be? What does the Bible say? Well, get ready, because we're going to fill it in. The first is this. Here's the first investment. The Bible says, would you write it down? Make friends with money by investing in lasting relationships. Make friends with money. In fact, let's read it together and you'll see what I mean. Luke 16:9. Would you read it? Go. I say to you, make friends for yourselves by means of the wealth of unrighteousness, so that when it fails, they will receive you into eternal dwellings. What is he saying? Take this and invest it in friendships, because this has an expiration date. And when it does, you'll be into eternal relationships with people. You'll see their lives change for an eternity, and yours will change for an eternity. This is 30, 60, 100 times far better than just trying to keep that in its raw state without converting it. It's called the wealth of unrighteousness. Utilize that in a way that makes friendships. You say, well, where do we start? Well, first of all, remember, in the end, the only thing that's going to matter is Jesus and the loving relationships you've made. Everything else is moot. It's going to turn rusty. It's going to fall apart. You're going to sell it. Even real estate, it was there before you bought it. It's going to be there after you sell it or die. It was always there. It never was yours. You bought that piece of real estate. Yeah, I own it. I own it. Fee. No, you don't own nothing. All you did was buy the paper to steward it for your lifetime. You can make money on it. You can lose it. You can sell it. You can give it away. But it was there before you were born. It's going to be there long after you're dead. Somebody else is going to get a piece of paper to steward it for their lifetime. You understand? So you're buying it fee, but it really, it was there long before you and I were born. It's going to be there after we're dead. We just get the paper and we have the authority to steward it. You can make tons off it. You can build on it. You can do whatever you want. But it's when you're done, it's still going to be there. And that's the same thing with everything we have, the gifts, etc. We think we own it. We don't. It doesn't belong to us. Now we can steward it for a season. So he says, well, one of the ways to get great investment, better than real estate, is take this and steward it for friendships. Make friends for yourself by means of mammon. I have a friend, he was about 65 years old, and when I was a young pastor in Hilo, this man, his name was Noel, is Noel, and he's still alive, and he was just a sagacious, old, insightful man that had great, great love for people and God. And he always said the wisest things. And One day we were at a table and I had my stamp collection. I said, hey, I've got the stamp collection. Isn't that cool? And Noel said, good. And he said to the guy next to me, what do you collect? And the guy said, I collect baseball cards. Oh, wonderful. And I turned to Noel and I said, what do you collect? Do you collect any of this? What do you collect? He said, I collect friends. I looked at the other guy and I thought, wow, that's cool. Have you ever heard someone say something and wished in your mind, I wish I would have said that? And it imprinted my heart. I've never forgotten that. Because I thought, yep, that's one of the greatest returns of your investment. So where do you start? Well, the first is this. Would you write in your notes? The first is provide for your own. Start your friendships right in your family. Now, I'm about to show you a scripture that's pretty strong. I don't think any of us falls into this category, but we need to read it anyway, and especially for dads and moms as well. But let's read this together. Go. If anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Now, I don't think any of us fall into that category because we love our families. We try to provide for them. But if we abandon them, that's what this is talking about. But let me go beyond that because I think we're okay in that area. But let's think about it this way. Make friends for yourself, starting with your family, by investing in them for friendships. Well, like how? Well, invest in the friendship with your spouse. Your children, think about it. Your best friends are your best friends. You know why? Because you have invested in them, or they've invested in you. You've had breakfasts together. You may have done things together, went to the movies together, paid for movies, birthday gifts. You probably went on vacation with them and went on trips with them. You spent time with them. You've invested in them. And what did you do? You invested in a friendship. And the Bible is saying, start with your own. Invest in your own spouse or your own kids. I say to husbands, invest in your wife. Take her out for a date. Oh, it costs money. No, no, no. It's a wonderful return. You're going to get the best return on that. And I say, wife, invest in your husband. The wife says, oh, you don't know my husband. Listen, we all know that there are no perfect husbands because my wife Anna married the last one of its kind. There are no more. There are no more. But still try your best. But you know why people end up in the divorce court? It's not because they fall out of love. It's because they first, long ago, fell out of friendship. They fell out of being friends. They still live at the same address, but they're no longer friends. So they might communicate, but they don't commune anymore. Big difference. You can communicate without communing. You know, we do that often. So what are you going to do today? Where are you going? When are you going to come back? I get dinner tonight. Enough. That's it. There's no communion. But you remember when you were dating? Oh, look, the tree. Look the sky. Look the clouds. Oh, look like one bunny rabbit. No. Yeah, look us. Oh. What did you talk about? Stupid stuff. But the communion was deep. You communed with each other. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, what happens is when you fall out of friendship, you might talk, but you don't commune with anybody. So you might communicate, but the communication breaks down when the communion decreases. Now you start misperceiving everybody's intents. It's like the lady and her husband were in divorce court, and the judge was questioning the lady, and he said to her, do you have grounds for this? She said, oh yeah, our grounds is 6,000 square feet, our houses, that's the only grounds we have. He said, no ma'am, do you have a grudge? Oh yeah, we got a 2-car grudge. Yeah, his is the one time, mine's the other. The judge says, no. Does he beat you up? No, I get up earlier than he does. Every morning I beat him up before he gets up. The judge says, no, why do you want a divorce? She says, I don't know. My husband said I don't communicate for some reason. I don't know. It's a breakdown, a breakdown. So begin to not just provide for your own, but make friends again with your wife. Can I say this to dads? Listen, don't shortchange vacations. It doesn't have to cost a lot, but save for it. Oh, I don't take vacations, it costs too much. No, you want to invest in making friends with your kids. Because when they come back from a vacation, you know what? They're closer to dad, closer to mom, because they just had fun together. And what did you do? You invested in making friendships with your son, your daughter. I used to go all over the world and speak, and they would say, okay, we'll give you an honorarium and pay for your plane ticket. I say, no, pay for two plane tickets. Oh, we can't. Okay, then take my honorarium, and I'm going to buy a second plane ticket so I can have my son or one of my daughters go with me. And they traveled with me all over the world. And even till this day, Aaron still says, you know, I remember all of those travels and all of those trips that I went with you. And so he doesn't hate the ministry for taking his dad away, but his dad used that to make friends with him. So now, you know, I'm turning 60 and he's 31, 32, and we're still closest of friends. He's still super immature and problems, but I tell you, we are just close friends. Same with my daughters. And we've got to invest in our kids to make friends. And the same is true with your spouse. Take her out. Most expensive place you can, because it's worth the investment, because when she comes back, she remembers you invested in her and your friends, and the communion returns and freshness and life begins again, because you are willing to give a little. And God says, I'll provide plenty. Don't worry about that. You just got to do this part and trust me, because that's how you enter the kingdom. So the first is make friends, starting with your own home. And the second is invest in specific relationships, which means outside of your home. Invest, here it is, make investments in people you know you need to hang out with because it's good for you. I mean, there's certain people I will fly to be with for a day or two. They'll speak into my life about my family or the ministry, my own soul. And when I come back, though it costs me money and time, when I come back, I feed off of that for 6 months thinking about what they had said. And let me encourage you, choose your friends wisely. And the ones you shouldn't be around, get away from them. Proverbs says it this way, is one example. It says, do not associate, or hang around, do not associate with a man given to anger, lest you learn his ways. So in other words, the ones you hang around with, you sort of become like. And the Bible says it this way, don't be deceived, bad company corrupts good morals. Bad company, what? Corrupts good morals. You can have good morals here. You can learn all kinds of stuff. But if you don't choose your friends wisely, everything you learn here, pew, goes out the window. You can have a daughter you raised in church and she goes sideways. And you say, honey, I raised you in church and you got all these good morals. But if it's the people she hangs around with, because bad company corrupts. Here's one of the best pieces of advice I can give to you young people. Choose your friends wisely in the beginning. Map it out. What kind of person do you want to be? Hang out with them. Otherwise, the devil's going to bring you people that kind of over you, and you go, oh, and it'll be the wrong ones. See, I do one dumb thing, and you got it. You got it. But you understand? Because the devil will put them right there, and you go, oh, they like me, oh, they like me, oh, they're just so kind to me, and it's going right down the wrong tube. You're going right down the drain. The devil knows what appeals to you. He knows what you'll give into, and he uses that bait. So watch out, because in school, you're going to have the weirdest friends just pay you the greatest amount of attention and greatest amount of love and adulation so that you go with them. You say, well, they love me. Oh, they don't love you. They can be planted by the enemy to destroy you. You better choose wisely. Who do you want to be like? Be like people who are like Christ. And choose wisely and invest in that. So invest in specific relationships and you'll have fabulous returns. Because we want you to enter the kingdom of God and be a part of that which is the best investments of your life. Here's another one that'll help you to break out that dirt dam, as it were, and so that life can return. Would you write down number 2, give alms in secret? What's an alm? An alm is giving to someone that is less fortunate than you are. That's all. Someone that may not be as postured as you are, someone not as positioned as you are, and they just need help. It doesn't have to be a poor person. It's anyone that just needs help. But give it to them in secret. I mean, you know, you say, but if I give it to them in secret, they won't recognize me. Oh, yeah, but God will. God will. There's a man named Cornelius that was a centurion and prayed, and God answers him. And watch this. Let's read this together. Go. Cornelius, your prayer has been heard. Here it is. And your alms have been remembered before God. Who remembers your alms? God, yeah. You see, remember Matthew 6? The Lord says, beware of practicing your righteousness before men in order to be noticed by them, for you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Matthew 6. So one of the greatest combatants against greed is giving alms in secret. So I don't need any adulation. I'll put my names up in lights. You know, you give. Sometimes we give and then we put it up in Facebook. Look, I gave $5. Okay, like me. Come on, like, yeah, you push like. Isn't that right? We do that. That's just how we are. Our psyche's like that. And the Lord says, don't do it. Give alms in secret. Your Father will remember. And if you give to the poor, let's read this. This is really cool. Read this. Go. He who gives to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will... Who will reward you? God will reward you. Give alms in secret. One of the best remedies for greed. Because not one of us is immune from that. Even Christians. The story of this guy was crying. Oh, and his friend came and said, why are you crying so much? Oh, you know, 3 weeks ago, my grandpa died and he left me his house. His friend goes, and you're crying? So I'm not finished. There's more. 2 weeks ago, my brother died and he left me $20,000. The friend goes, what are you crying for? He said, I'm not bound. 1 week ago, my cousin died and left me his house and his boat. This friend is saying, what are you crying for? He said, well, this week, nothing. Greed. And when you give in alms, it remedies that. He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him.
You've been listening to a message entitled Invitation to the Kingdom by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Tomorrow, we'll learn who the happiest people are on earth. We hope you'll join us. Now for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.